welcome to another fine mess, the European Securitization Podcast. I am Victoria Thiele, CLO reporter at Global Capital, and your host for today because I was abandoned last week by the entire rest of the team. So we are recording this on a Monday morning where at least George Smith has come back from a holiday. He covers ABS and RMBS, and he currently looks a bit like a lumberjack. You have a lot more beard than I remember from those distant 5 days ago when I last saw you, George. So what happened on your holiday?
Yes, it's been difficult to get hold of a razor. I've been in North Yorkshire and in Edinburgh.
Famously far from civilization. did they finally have like running water there?
We did just get that.
It's nice to see leveling up happening. Anyway, while you were still here, you wrote about second lien RMBS.
I did indeed, yes. But I'm indebted to you, really, because I went off on holiday and left you to finish that story off.
Well, I didn't want to mention it, but...
Yeah, and you've also been on the main, well, not the main, the other. This is the main Global Capital podcast. And I've just listened to that myself as a kind of primer to get myself ready to remember what I actually wrote about. But I will try and say something different here.
So is that because I butchered your story and none of what I said is in any way, shape or form accurate?
No, it was very good. It's because I can't possibly top it. So I recommend listeners to go and listen to at least the last 10 minutes of the main or the other Global Capital podcast.
Anyway, but yeah, so I mean, I was just there to sort of recount on the results. But why did you choose to write about second liens in the first place?
Well, we have had an unusually high number of deals. I mean, I think it's like 3 deals in 3 months and 4 deals in 5 months or something. So it's been a very kind of high pace of issuance. And I guess the question that occurred to me was, is this a kind of more fundamental shift, or is this just like a handful of issuers all seeing the same opportunity and cashing in, basically? And yeah, I mean, it does feel like at the lending level in the UK mortgage market at the moment, some things are changing. And I just thought that at some point would have to feed through into RMBS, and this was possibly quite an interesting case of that happening.
Yeah, you said in your story that it has to do with sort of the rising interest rates, right? So could you maybe talk a bit more about what's going on at the lending level? Because second lien and sort of second charge mortgages aren't really, like, didn't used to be a huge thing in the UK, weren't they?
Yeah, so... I mean, the first thing that's happened is like a huge collapse, like almost halving in the rate of buy-to-let lending. And there's a few different things behind that. But there's also been a fall in the level of, on the rate of owner-occupied lending, just on the slowdown of the housing market. So those are the kind of, I guess, two types of securitization loans that you see more commonly. And then these second liens, there has been an increase. I mean, I think it was more in 2022 than 2023, but I think both were still up on kind of historical averages. And I guess the as you explained better than I'll be able to explain here, the main reason is if you've got a good interest rate on a 5-year fixed rate mortgage, then it's cheaper to take out a second mortgage at a higher interest rate if it's on a much smaller amount, if you want to do something like debt consolidation or a one-off purchase, pay for your wedding maybe, as one example.
So is interest rate sort of the main driving factor, or are there other elements, other things contributing as well?
Yeah, so I think... on the kind of owner-occupied side, the housing market's slowing down is interest rate driven. But and then on the buy-to-let side, regulation has a big part to play. You know, there's been tax changes that make being a landlord less favourable. There's various different factors that may, you know, like Basel has its part to play as well in kind of how certain types of buy-to-let loans are going to be treated, and banks' balance sheets. There's all kinds of things going on for landlords that may be beyond the scope of this episode of Another Fine Mez. And then secondly, there's not been like, it is mostly a rates kind of picture, but there's also been a few, I mean, they were brought under the FCA's mortgage regulation, for example, in about 2016. That has made a difference.
Right. So can we attribute this recent sort of wave or rush or surge in second lien RMBS? Can we attribute that to that rise in lending? Or is that just sort of a parallel coincidental thing that's happening?
Yeah, I wondered this, and I asked, somebody said to me that that's a hard case to make. But other people were more kind of positive about that idea, I think.
Yeah, so like, it's like, what other case would that person making?
Well, I think in some of these, so, you know, obviously there's like a certain amount of collateral out there, and like a certain proportion of that ends up in the securitization market. And if you've got more, then you may get bigger deals. But say Equifinance, which is the issuer, the debut issuer, from, what is it now, 2 weeks ago almost, who you've talked about their deal on the other podcast, so we can, but like, they've been on a kind of journey themselves, right, where they've got to build up their business, like, and the fact that they've reached enough collateral to come to the securitization market probably helped by the fact that there's been an increase in secondly lending, but it's not going to be the kind of clinching thing that means like they've just thought, oh yeah, now we have enough collateral, let's do a one-off securitization and fund it. And similarly, like Together, who did a deal, they've got a mix of assets. They may see that they have a few more second liens and do a second lien deal, but it's not like a kind of like one-off, like, you know, they have a second lien shelf from which they do their second lien deals. So I don't know if you can look at any one deal and go like, oh yeah, that's like purely based on the increase in lending. But it does seem to me hard to argue that it doesn't have some impact. And similarly, like, there's been a fall in buy-to-let issuance this year. We've got Belmont Green are now out marketing another deal, but you know, definitely there was Charter Court PMF. That was a good the one that priced at 98 that we were very, well, I was very excited about. But yeah, I mean, there's not been loads of buy to let, and that does have to be down to these kind of underlying dynamics.
Right. What do you expect going forward? Is this pace sustainable? We had a deal per month. Is that going to carry through to the rest of the year just because it's going to be a really busy year? Or do you think that means like before we sort of see a more sustained effect of all those factors of regulation and interest rates feeding through, that might be sort of a bit further out?
Yeah, I mean, so Equifinance do intend to be a regular issuer. So, you know, that kind of thing means we may have one or two more deals a year, but it comes back to the point of just like how much collateral is there and like what percentage of that is going into the securitization market. Like, there's, say we're doing £250 million deals, there's not enough collateral. Like, even if every second lien loan was securitized, you still only have about 6 deals a year, I think, based on the overall size of the market. So,
right.
Definitely unsustainable pace of issuance, but
oh well, but we enjoyed it while it lasted, and especially the Equifinance deal was a really, really fun one to cover, because sort of, in, you know, being a good colleague and journalist, I talked to a few people in the ABS market myself about it, and there's some great color we got on that one in that piece, which you should absolutely go and read rather than listen to any other like competing podcasts or so. It is called RMBS Buyers Tread Carefully Amid Charge of the Second Charges. Also a very lovely title.
I'll take the credit for that.
Isn't it sad? Oh wait, did you say you take the credit or you take no credit?
No, I'll take the credit.
As you should.
I did write that one.
Not like me last week, where like the best thing about my story was the headline, and that was created by like 5 editors in tandem.
What did I see? More Alison. Well, it was through the looking glass from you.
No, this was the opposite way. Yeah, it was the opposite way. It was Altice in Thunderland.
But this story this week had a. Well, I thought I was surprised you didn't keep the thing going because it was running to stay in place, wasn't it?
But that didn't have anything to do with Altice. It was just a good quote that an investor gave.
The Red Queen. How was the week then? We can read the headline at the end.
So it was a bit slower than ABS, as so often CLOs don't sort of happen at the same pace. But we had only one deal that priced. It was Bridgepoint, very decent deal. But the pipeline is growing. So as of this Monday, there's like a few new things coming up. And it's actually shaping up to be potentially one of the busiest years on the record, sort of after the financial crisis, second only to 2021, if Deutsche Bank is indeed correct, because just this morning they updated their forecast for total issuance this year.
And what is driving this increased forecast?
Well, I think there's a number of different factors. So Deutsche Bank sort of referred to strong technical support in the market and sort of decent fundamentals. There's also just the credit sentiment that is quite positive in wider markets. Investors are generally sort of expecting sort of interest rate cuts going forward, and they're generally relatively optimistic. So, and whenever there's tightening in the wider market, that tends to be good for CLOs because CLOs lag a bit behind, so that's good relative value there. So there's a bit of opportunism among issuers. We had this intense tightening in spreads in the first few months of the year. And we had a few people coming back who haven't issued in a year and a half because of the poor arbitrage. And now that's sort of working slightly better, they're coming. Then we had this rally in the secondary loan market, which helped some people reset their old deals or reissue or call them. And then what seems to be sort of a really important trend that's underlying this all is just amortizations picking up. So older vintage CLOs where the managers are repaying the investors and or liquidating the deals if they sort of like sell everything at once. And that is giving more cash back to investors, especially for AAA notes. It's also releasing more loans for CLO portfolios because the asset side is still the biggest struggle for CLO managers. But sort of alongside providing more material on both sides, it's also putting them under pressure to keep participating in deals because CLO managers, if equity investors are deciding to get a deal liquidated, they're losing AUM. So they need more deals to keep the assets under management. And on the other hand, their AAA investors, they need to, if they want to stay invested in CLOs, they need to buy a new CLO. So there's sort of this drive from both supply and demand. So at least what we've seen so far is there's quite a bit of issuance and a lot of these deals are well oversubscribed. They're increasing in size. So yeah, so far there's been quite good support.
So it's a nice boost for issuance numbers, but not necessarily for the outstanding CLO.
Yeah, exactly. So what's happening is basically we have a really busy market, but it's not actually a growing market. Because it's just, yeah, like that investor said, we're running to stay in place. Everybody is really busy, but sort of the net amount of outstanding CLOs isn't really blowing up as much as maybe you would expect if you just look at issuance numbers.
Yeah, indeed. And what about credit risk? We were speaking last week about Altice, as we just touched upon. Nice prelude that was to the whole. Has that... restricted appetite
No is the short answer. So yeah, there was Altice is that French telecoms company that has been struggling for a while, highly levered company, a lot of debt, got into problems when interest rates started increasing, and is also the most widely held name in a lot across European CLO portfolios. So that was sort of caused a bit of a stir when after a sort of very fateful investor call, all their debt plunged recently. But it doesn't seem to be impairing appetite so far, I think, or sort of making people meaningfully concerned about credit risk, because it's so far mainly seen as a quite idiosyncratic event. The downgrades that did happen by Moody and S&P's, sort of from double B.
S&P have joined Moody's since we last spoke, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I think S&P was like the next day or so. Yeah, last time we recorded, I think it was just Moody's, and then S&P also downgraded them. So it is now got dropped into the CCC buckets, or is getting dropped into the CCC buckets of a few managers. But they're managing them well, so it's not expected to have this huge impact. And it would only be a big problem if this meant that there's now loads of other companies also defaulting and getting downgraded. But so far, people don't seem to be assuming that that is happening. I also spoke to one person who said, well, Altiz is not a sponsor-owned company, so they don't necessarily have to care about capital markets in the same way that others would need to do. So yeah, short answer, it's so far doesn't seem to have any meaningful impact on sort of issuance volumes or demand or mezzanine pricing or anything.
And that story is called, as we've touched upon, CLO managers, buyers ready to run to stay in place as redemptions rise.
Yeah, we really spoiled ourselves there, didn't we? Anyway, that's all we had time for today. As always, if you have any questions, comments, remarks, requests, or want to appear on this podcast as a guest, feel free to contact us. All our email addresses work the same. I'm sure you by now can know them by heart if you're listening regularly, but it's victoria.thiele@globalcapital.com, george.smith, or if you really want to contact our absent colleague Tom Lemon, tom.lemon@globalcapital.com. And we thank you for listening, and welcome back next week. Goodbye.